the mysteries. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul makes it perfectly clear that it is only the apostles and prophets who God reveals the mysteries of Christ to through the Holy Spirit. He doesn't reveal them to the church any other way. And he makes it clear in chapter 4 that the reason God has this line of authority in the church is so the church won't be henceforth like children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Look at the churches today. Everybody's preaching something else. Everybody's teaching something else. Everybody's believing something else. And none of them have it right. Except those who believe the Word as it's written. Now, I had a preacher come up to me and said, there are no apostles today. I said, really? What are you? Well, I'm an evangelist. I said, no, you're not. He said, what do you mean? I said, there are no evangelists today. Well, yes, there are. I said, no, there aren't. Paul said, for God gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ, till, that means until, we all come together in the unity of the faith unto the measure of the stature of Christ, unto a perfect man. That hasn't happened yet. So, they're either all there or none of them. You can't have your cake and eat it too. Well, apostles were, you know, when the last apostle died, when was the last apostle? Well, you know, the last apostle. Let's see now. Timothy was under Paul. He was an apostle. He didn't follow Jesus, didn't believe in Jesus. In fact, he fought against Jesus until Jesus knocked him off his high horse. Called him an apostle. Titus was up under Paul. Titus is going around healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils. Paul's in Rome. He's got his head over the chopping block. The axe falls. Now, all of a sudden, there's Timothy preaching to the people, and he's going to heal the sick, and the axe hits the head, and it falls into the basket, and Timothy's powerless. Is that the kind of God we have? I don't think so. God has always had apostles, and he's always had prophets, and he's always had evangelists, and he's always had pastors, and he's always had teachers. And you know what? He didn't need your permission to do it. Go back and read Ephesians chapter 1. That'll blow your mind if you read it literally. Go back and read it. They say back there, God has given us all these great things. Really? What are they? If you've got them, you'll know what they are. Praise God. I really appreciate y'all sticking with me this long, and I hope you can stick with this a little bit longer, because we're going to get through this. I really believe that. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. You know, he didn't have to ask them in Jerusalem for permission. He didn't need their permission. He was an apostle by the will of God. Not even his own will. Remember when he was knocked off his high horse, Ricky, and God told Ananias, go up, lay hands. He says, I don't want to do that. He's a bad boy. Mm-hmm. What did God say? He said, no, you go on. He's a chosen vessel of mine. I've chosen him. And I am going to show him what things he must suffer for my name's sake. He didn't give Paul a choice. Anybody ever wondered about all this argument of predestination and no predestination, all that? Anybody ever wondered about that? You know, you got these people out here saying, well, we're predestinated. And the other people out here saying, there's nobody predestinated. You ever wonder why the arguments? Because they don't understand, because they're stupid. Did I say that right, Terry? There are those that are predestinated, and there are those who are not predestinated. See, I want to tell you a thing, and we'll try to get it all covered.
You picked the wrong one at this time of night. 5 hours later.
He remembers the time years ago down in Maryland when I was going to teach a chapter in Ephesians, one chapter a night. So we got up there, we started, and 5.5 hours later I said, verse 2. It was amazing. Nobody left. Of course, nobody came back, but... Yeah, it's amazing. They all came back, didn't they?
Yep.
All right. There's a lot of confusion in the church, and the confusion in the church is back again. It all has to do with Joshua, and it all has to do with crossing the River Jordan. It all has to do with walking in obedience. It all has to do with understanding God's Word. Paul's called an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, not his will, because Paul was predestinated. Now, we find when we look over in chapter 17, you go read it yourself in John chapter 17, it's very clear, it cannot be any clearer, that the 11 were predestinated by God to be Jesus' apostles. And not only that they were predestinated, they were with him from the beginning. He says it. And he goes on to say that in the same way that Jesus was not of the world, they are not of the world. And he goes on to say that in the same way that the Father sent Jesus out into the here to preach, Jesus was sending them out. It's very simple. And then he also said about, what's his face? Judas, that he was the son of perdition. Anybody know what that means? Son of perdition. It means the son of sin, meaning Satan. So he was showing two distinct seeds, the seed of God, the elect, and the seed of Satan. Anybody ever remember the parable of the wheat and the tares? How shall I liken the kingdom of God? You ever wondered what it meant? I can take you through that and show you from Genesis all the way through the wheat and the tares, the wheat and the tares. Cain was a tare. Abel was a wheat. And Eve was the field. Have you ever wondered why Cain was never listed among Adam's lineage? Because he wasn't Adam's son. He never was Adam's son. He was somebody else's son. Do you ever wonder when Jesus said to the Pharisees, ye have not Abraham for your father? They said, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Where did fornication come from? Where did they get that from? They knew all about Cain and Abel and what happened in that garden. Jesus said, your father is the devil, and he was a liar from the beginning, and ye are as your father the devil. You are liars and murderers from the first. And who was the first liar and who was the first murderer? Cain. Who was his father? The devil. Satan got his seed in the earth through Cain. got so bad, it got so horrible, God had to destroy all the people. He took out Adam's seed through Noah, the only seed that made it out. Amen. Then man began to reproduce on the earth again, and Satan sent his angels down to put his seed in again. So there is the elect seed of God, there is the seed of Satan, and in the center is the vast majority called the seed of Adam. And there is a war taking place between God's kingdom and Satan's kingdom, and the prize is Adam. It's never changed. That's why in John 3:16, Jesus said, the word says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." He's talking about Adam's seed. That's not predestination. God, I'm going to show you a few things. God doesn't know who is going to be saved and who isn't among Adam's seed. He only knows who's going to be saved among those that are predestinated. Now, I know some people say that's blasphemy. God knows everything. God knows everything well in advance. Yet I can take you over in the Bible where God said, these people are over here sacrificing their children, and they're doing this, and they're doing that, and I never told them to do that. You know, it never entered my mind that they would do such a thing. That's God speaking. Does it sound like God knew what was going on? I can take you over and show you Abraham, where God came and talked to Abraham. And he sat and said, should we tell Abraham what's going on? You, I don't know. So God says to Abraham, I got this report. I heard a story about Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what it means. A cry came up to heaven. It's a report. It's a story. And I couldn't believe it. I came down here to see with my own eyes if it's true. Go back and read it. You know what's the problem with churches? Is these preachers get up there and preach what they're taught by somebody else who was an idiot that doesn't know the Word of God, who is taught by somebody else who didn't know the Word of God, who was taught by somebody else who didn't know the Word of God, to people sitting in the church who don't know the Word of God, and everybody says, well, yep, that's right. Amen, preacher. Amen. And they wonder why the world's going to hell in a handbasket. They wonder why their children are sick, and their husbands are sick, and their wives are sick, and their neighbors are sick, and they wonder why there's so much murder in the world, and they wonder why the government is destructive, and all this garbage is going on. And they say, God, why are you allowing this to happen? And God is saying, if you'll read my word, you'll know. My hands are tied. My hands are tied because I have given you the authority and the power on this earth to act as my body. And if you're too sorry and lazy to do it, you get what you deserve.
Amen.
Forgive us, Lord, Amen. For our stupidity. There's a battle taking place in this planet, and it's against God and Satan, God's elect, Satan's seed, and it's for Adam's seed. And God says in John 1, as many as believed on Him, that is Jesus, as many as believed on Him, gave He them power to become the sons of God. That's the elect seed.
Amen.
Adam's seed can become the elect seed if they want to. All they got to do is accept Him. They got to get that baptism of blood. And they'll say, oh, well, I understand. You see? And then, let's read this. Who's got a Bible? Got a Bible? You ain't got it open. Ricky, read this for me. These glasses are too tinted for me to read that.
From verse 1?
Start verse 2.
Grace be to you and peace from God our Father.
Stop. Grace be to you and peace. Grace is that which covers sin. Peace, you know what peace is. Peace is that warm and fuzzy feeling, right?
No.
Peace isn't the warm and fuzzy feeling. Peace is what you get when you stop fighting. Peace is the cessation of war.
Amen.
Before you accept Christ, you are at enmity with God. You are His enemy. But God gives us a peace treaty. And He proves that peace treaty by giving us His Son on the cross. And when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we accept the terms of peace. Then we have peace with God. Now, people say, there again, these stupid preachers out here, oh, that means you're going to feel peaceful. Jesus never said you're going to feel peaceful. He said, I promised you tribulation in this world.
Amen.
I have never felt peaceful in tribulation. I felt tribulation in tribulation.
Amen.
But I've always had the joy even in the tribulation. Peace, see, oh, if God wants you to go to heaven, why would He make this earth so good that you wouldn't want to go? That doesn't even make sense. The whole idea of Jesus coming and sending His Spirit and everything else is to make you want to go to heaven. Not stay here. So if you could loll around in peaceful la-la land all the time, you wouldn't want to get off your duff and do anything. But because God allows the devil to come against you and demons to come against you, it keeps you focused on the kingdom of God where you want to go to heaven. And the beautiful thing is when you're obedient to God, you get to have fun and step on demons.
Amen.
You get to have fun along the way. It's great. All right. Go ahead.
Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
Stop. Who's us? Shut up. You already know this. You just prideful. You have the Lord say, praise God.
Praise God.
If he had said that, everybody that hadn't heard me teach this before would probably say, well, we are. But look, what did it say in the very beginning?
Paul,
an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the
saints
which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, see, that letter wasn't written to the world. See, I can talk to everybody here because even though half of you may not be wrapped too tight, and we may not be wrapped too tight, there's no one in here that doesn't believe in God. There's not one person in here that doesn't believe in God. They just may not know what they believe. But they believe. So I'm going to tell you a few things. Now, that letter was written to the Ephesians in that time, not to the world, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. That's those in all time. And the church teaches that when it says, what is that? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all
spiritual
blessings
in heavenly places.
In heavenly places. But that means all of us. Haven't you heard that? Huh? Have you ever heard that? That God has blessed us all with spiritual blessings? I had a preacher tell me that, and I said, really? Tell me what they are. Well, all of them. Yeah. What are they? God's blessings. Yeah. What are they? Well, they're spiritual. Yeah. But what are they? I don't know. I said, that's right, because you ain't got them. You know, it's simple. It's simple. If you've got a thing, you know what it is. Self-esteem has eaten the church rotten. It's eaten the church up. The church is so full of self-esteem, they ain't got time for God's steam. Take water and fire, what do you got? Steam. Power. Holy Ghost power.
Amen.
No, what he's talking about, it is the apostles that God has given all spiritual blessings in heavenly places to.
Amen.
And it reads just like that, right straight on down. You get to verse 9. What's it say in verse 9?
Having made known unto us the mystery of His will.
Having made known unto us the mystery of His will. Who's us?
Apostles.
Well, I heard it was the pastors and everybody else. Look at that. If a pastor had the mystery of the will, why wouldn't he know what God's will is? When a pastor stands in the church and says, Father, You work in mysterious ways and Your wonders to perform, and it's not for us to understand. Didn't that just say the opposite?
Mm-hmm.
It's not for us to understand Thy will, because Your ways are so beyond ours. But Sister Mary over here is sick, and we would that Thou touch her if it be Thy will. That preacher doesn't know God. He doesn't know God. He doesn't have a clue. And he surely doesn't know the mysteries. So that's not talking about that preacher. That's talking about the one he gives the mysteries to. And in Ephesians chapter 3, it says very clearly that he only gives the mysteries to the apostles and prophets. So he's talking about the apostles and prophets that are the predestinated of God, foreordained from the foundation of the world. And then when he gets down to verse 13, he switches it to the others. What's it say?
In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth.
See, up until that time, everything is us, we, ours, us, we, our. And then it gets in whom you also trusted. It changes from us to you, us to you. If I write a letter from South Carolina to you, I'm going to talk about us and we in South Carolina to you and all up here in New Hampshire. Amen? Does that make sense?
Amen.
So, the predestinated, and I would that you go home and read this and pray over it and everything. It's going to sound weird, but do it anyway. Go home and pray over it and read it. And you will see very clearly that the predestinated are the apostles and prophets. And if you take the apostles and prophets out of the church, you take the mysteries of God out of the church, and you end up with a lot of confusion and rebellion and stubbornness, and you stay out there in the desert till you die, and He brings up another generation to take your place. Amen. Until He finds a church that will believe Him and obey Him.
Amen.
Because the first thing the children of Israel did, they took that baptism of blood in Egypt. That was while they were still in the world. And then they crossed through the Red Sea. That's the baptism of water. The baptism of water does not save you. It's not for forgiveness of sins. The baptism of John was a baptism of repentance. But in the church, the baptism of water is a baptism into the body of Christ.
Amen.
You're saved when you receive, saved when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're covered with the blood. You become a member of His body when you're baptized in water. Then when the children of Israel went across the River Jordan, that was a type and shadow of the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So the baptism of blood lets you understand. The baptism of water and Spirit lets you walk in His kingdom here. See? When Jesus cast out devils, the Pharisees said he cast out devils by the spirit of Beelzebub. What did Jesus say? If I cast out devils by the finger of God, know ye this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. When Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he was not talking about heaven. He was talking about God's kingdom, which is a spiritual kingdom, which is right here. Paul spoke about it, about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. You're defeated daily because you can't see the enemy. You can't see the enemy because your soul was separated from your spirit. But when your spirit and your soul are joined back together by Jesus Christ and infused with the Holy Spirit, then you begin to see in the Spirit. And that's what God has blessed him with. And he was able to come in here last night and again tonight and see God's anointing. And it's something that every one of you, God wants you to have. He wants you not to be blind. Remember when Jesus was talking about the Pharisees that said they were the blind leading the blind? Did you really think that he was talking physical blindness? No. He was talking spiritual blindness. People come up to me and say, oh, you know, Brother David, blah, 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 blah. And I look at them and I see their spirit and I know. I know when they're telling the truth, and I know when they're not telling the truth. Because I see it. And it's not because I'm great. He's great. Amen. I just choose to believe him.
Amen.
Steve, he used to come up there all the time, and he'd get mad at me, go down and back, and he'd start praying, God, show me this, God, show me that. And I'd sit up there in the kitchen and listen to every word he said. And the Lord said, go tell him this, this, and this. And I'd go down out back and say, Steve, the Lord said this, this, and this. Drove you crazy, didn't it? And it's not because I am good. It's because God is good. And He wants the same thing for every single one of you. Every one of you. Every one of you. He wants you healed. He wants you delivered. He wants you full of the Holy Spirit. He wants you full of His life. But He will not give it to you to reward you with unbelief. And unbelief is the fruit of rebellion. That brought us all the way back to the beginning. All the way back to the beginning. I would that you would read Ephesians chapter 1 very carefully. Very carefully. If you don't, if you have a computer and you have access to a website, grab one of my brochures over here, go up on my website, and look up Ephesians chapter 1 on it. And there is, it's about 43 pages long if you type it out. But when you finish with that, it covers everything we've said here tonight and a whole lot more. There's a lot in that chapter. A lot in it. And God had me write that to bring a better understanding. Now, I didn't get that because I'm smart. I'm too stupid to get that on my own. But he just showed it to me step by step by step. All right. What's tonight?
Wednesday.
This is Wednesday. Yep. I tell you, this has thrown me off. I always start the revivals on Monday. So I'm a day off. I'm out of sync. That's good. God can be in sync. I'll be out of sync. Tomorrow night, that's Thursday. God may change it. I don't know. But just the way I'm thinking tonight, tomorrow night, I want those who have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and want to receive the Holy Spirit to come and receive. And if you don't understand what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is, talk to one of these guys before you leave here, if you decide you want the Holy Spirit. And what it means is this: if you want to walk in power, then you've got to walk in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In John, 1 John 5, 7, and 8 again, it said there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Remember that? In verse 8, in the next verse, it says there are three that bear witness in the earth: the water, the Spirit, and the blood. These three agree in one. Those are baptisms. In Mark 16, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That baptism is blood, water, Spirit.
Amen.
There's only one baptism. Blood, water, Spirit. The three are one. There's only one God. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. The three are one. Amen?
Amen.
So, you wonder why it says in the Bible, if they're baptized, they believe, they'll heal the sick. Why nobody healing the sick? Well, the preacher, that dumb preacher out there said, well, there's water baptism is the only one. No, there are three.
Amen.
Oh, I know what I'm supposed to do. As I've said in past nights, I'll say it again tonight, we don't take up offerings here. God doesn't want me to spend a lot of time trying to raise money for the ministry. God has people, if He talks to their heart, that they listen, they support the ministry. If they don't, well, it stinks to be them. But we have baskets up here. And if you feel led of the Lord to help this ministry out, we would surely appreciate it. There are the baskets. Also, if you take a brochure, if you don't have one, please get one. Read about our ministry. If you believe in what we're doing. See, we go out where nobody else will go. Terry testified the other night, Terry House Factor, testified the other night how we brought the tent to Alabama to his house, knowing that there wasn't going to be anybody there but his family. Most revivalists, most evangelists, most preachers will not go to a town where they can't make enough money to get them on to the next. And I want to tell you something. I have never done a revival with this tent where it paid for itself. Think about that. I've never put this tent up and done a revival where it has paid for itself. And yet I'm still doing it. You know why? I ain't in it for the money.
Amen.
God told me to do this, and I'm doing it. So we earn the money. They earn the money. Do I pay you, Ricky Baldwin? Do I pay you, Steve? Do I pay you, Charlie? Do I pay you, Tim? Do I pay you? Do I pay you? Paul, are you being paid to come up here? How about you, John? Are you paid? How about you, Terry? These guys aren't paid. They've come up here to serve because they love Jesus Christ. They have to receive from God the same way I do. And whatever goes into these baskets goes to put the tent out. They don't go into my salary or into my income. Because I'm not here to do that. I'm here to preach and to witness and to minister and to give the gifts of God. That's what I'm here for. And if people get upset about that, then so be it. Amen.
Amen.
All right, give me some traveling music.
Come in, Jesus, the kettle.